Our numbers are a little thin this morning, but we'll go ahead and present our lesson anyway. We're glad you're here. What the devil doesn't want you to know. And we're going to be talking about the denominations a lot because they leave out things from the scriptures. And of course, they become agents of Satan when they do that. And so the things that will help us get to heaven, the devil doesn't want you to know those things. Or if you do know them, he doesn't want you to practice those things. So let's go along and see what we have here. Satan wants you to remain ignorant of the things of God. And that's very true. And as long as you're ignorant of things of God, you're not going to be doing those things that he wants done. And so your salvation, though, is dependent upon knowing and doing God's will. And we're going to show that as well. So if we want salvation, we want eternal life in heaven, we've got to do God's will. All right. There are things the devil doesn't want you to know. And the reason is, and you can write this down, the devil does not want you to go to heaven. All right? The devil does not want you to go to heaven. All right. In Acts 13, we talk about the Word of God, and we have a long passage there between verses 4 and 12 describing the same thing. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Word, also the Word of God. It's called the faith, the straight ways of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. And that's true. I mean, they're all talking about the same thing. And it's talking, these things, they refer to the gospel. And then, of course, we see the example when Philip went up to the chariot and he preached Jesus unto the eunuch. And the eunuch came to the decision what he needed to do. Earlier in that chapter, he was visiting the people there and he preached unto them about the kingdom of God. And they also were obeying the gospel and being baptized. And so when you preach the kingdom of God, when you preach Jesus, when you preach the faith, when you preach the teaching of the Lord, they're teaching the same things. And so Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the power of God for salvation is in the gospel. And that's what it is. He says the same thing there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. And so that's what these people believed. And verses 1 through 4 of that passage. So when we're going to teach what the Bible says we should do, you're going to find denominations find a way to discount all of that stuff. They will discount each point that I'm going to make today and say it's not necessary or it's not needed or something along that line. And then all we have to do, you can try this. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Now you put them in a spot. Well, if they answer no, then what do you believe in? But if they answer yes, I believe the Bible's Word of God, then why did God put it in there? You got to ask that question. Why did God put it in there when you say it can be done a different way? And so, a lot of times you can just basically confuse people by just asking questions. Why does God have this in the Bible? Why does he have that in the Bible? Why does he talk about baptism when you say it's not necessary? I mean, it's kind of a moot point, right? And so it's unnecessary. Why did they do it? When Peter was asked, what must we do? Why didn't Peter say, well, just say the sinner's prayer? Because it's not in there. So those are the point we're going to make about this subject, is the fact that the devil doesn't want you to know certain things, but if you do know those things, he doesn't want you to do them. What the devil doesn't want you to know about salvation. All right, the message. That's what it is. Acts 13, 26. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent. He's talking about the gospel. The gospel has been sent. And what is the gospel? It's the message of salvation. And that's what it is. It's called the way. Acts 16, 17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And of course, we know where that way is. Jesus Christ is that way. So when we preach Jesus Christ, what are we preaching? The gospel. And so it's easy. It's the gospel of God. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And so, as Paul was explaining what was going on with this message, this new thing called the way, the church, he says, this is the salvation of God. All right, and it's also called the good news, Ephesians 1:13. In him, that being Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, which we just mentioned, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so, when you obey the gospel message and accept it and obey it, then you have the Holy Spirit of promise for you. The devil doesn't want you to know what to do to be saved. Age-old question, most important question anybody can ask at any time, anywhere. What must I do to be saved? And of course, the idea of what must I do must indicate there is a necessity for it. What can I do to be saved is what a lot of people now phrase it, and as little as possible. Try and tell somebody, oh, you don't have to do anything. There's a lot of people in this world who teach that. You don't have to do anything because God's already decided on anyway. If you're going to heaven, God's already decided that. If you're going to hell, God's already decided that. You can't do anything to change your destiny. That's the doctrine of Calvinism. And it is a false doctrine because the Bible, like I said, why did God say to believe? Why did God say to repent and confess and be baptized? Why did he tell us that if he's already decided what's going to happen to everybody? It doesn't make any sense. All right. The devil doesn't want you to know it because if you become saved, you leave his domain. See in Colossians 1:13-14, for Jesus rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. That's God speaking there. And whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All right, so God rescued us from Satan's domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So that's why Satan doesn't want you to know what to do to be saved. He loses one. All right, he wants you in spiritual darkness. Ephesians 4:17-18. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. I mean, Paul explains a lot of things right there in this one passage alone. And it's what happens to people when they stay out of Christ. That's where they dwell, in this darkness and in this ignorance. Satan wants to keep you from the light. And of course, we know who that is. Ephesians 5:8-9 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So when you study the word light, it's revealing. It makes things known. If you walk into a dark room, first thing you do, you flip the switch, right? You have light above, and you can see where everything is. You can see what you're looking for. Try and do things in the dark. It's not easy unless it's someplace that you know it's always there. But then that can also get you into trouble. All right, see, his dominion is a spiritual world of darkness. And the devil wants you to remain in it. He doesn't want you to be saved. He wants you to stay in this darkness. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God because we need it. Devil doesn't want you to know God's plan of salvation. He has his agents telling people all the time, well, you don't have to do anything or just believe only or do this or do that. But God's plan of salvation, he doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I mean, the idea of God coming down and dwelling among us, how ridiculous is that? How many times have you heard that in your lifetime? You heard that a lot. And he doesn't want us, though. He will blind you to seeing the glory of Christ. Christ did some great things. He did the greatest thing for humanity, but the devil doesn't want you to see that, so he will blind your eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Paul writes, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now you look out in our world, we have a lot of blind people out there. I mean, they are spiritually dead. They are blind because they don't see it, because the God of this world doesn't want them to see it, doesn't want them exposed to it. See, the devil wants you to blind you seeing the glory of Christ. And of course, because the Son of God came to destroy his works. We just read that in our scripture reading. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of Satan. And that's what it says here. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The devil's job, like I said, his goal is to keep you out of heaven. And Jesus came to change that. He came to destroy that work. All right. And really, Satan does not even care if you believe. His demons also believe. We read that in James 2:19. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. He does not care if you believe as long as you do not obey his will. Matthew 7:21. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Starts off, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Once again, just ask the question, why is that passage in the Bible? If people don't have to do anything, why is it in the Bible? And they can't give you an answer. And they won't give you an answer. Because if they do give you an answer, it'll probably destroy their arguments. All right. He does not want you to be aware that you can escape the snares of sin. You know, people get involved in sin, they feel trapped. And that's the way of life. For most of them feel that way. They just continue in it without giving a second thought. But some people get their mind said, I don't want to be in this situation. And they change. Romans 6:17-18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Jesus said the truth will make us free. The truth is that form of teaching. The gospel is what he's talking about. And so, we've been freed from the sin that Satan wants us to be in. Devil doesn't want you to confess that Jesus is the Christ. He doesn't want you to know that. And of course, it's necessary. Confessing Christ leads to salvation. And say, really? How's that happen? Well, Romans 8:10. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So yes, belief is necessary, we know that. Confession is necessary. We have to understand that as well. Alright, devil doesn't want you to know that you must repent of your sins. He doesn't want to let you know that. He does not care if you are sorry about sin, you feel bad what you have done. He doesn't really care if you feel bad there. 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul writes, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. You can run a stop sign and go tell the judge, I'm sorry. He's still going to say pay the fine. But that's the sorrow of the world. When you've done something against God and you feel genuinely bad about that, you're going to want to make amends, right? You're going to want to do something right. What do you want me to do, Lord? And he tells us what to do. Change your ways. That's what repentance is, changing your ways. He just doesn't want you to be sorry because your sin offends God. That's what the devil doesn't want us to do. When we realize we've sinned against God, we should be sorrowful. But a lot of people aren't. They do all sorts of sin and they have no remorse whatsoever. And they really don't care because they're following what the devil wants them to know. All right, devil does not want you to know that God is a kind and caring God. Right? Have you heard this stuff that, God, how can he be called kind and loving and caring when he's going to put all these people in hell? That's not right. That's not what I would do. And that's how people think, that God would not be that kind. God doesn't want people to go to hell. He's given them the way out. We have it recorded in our scriptures, in the Bible. He tells exactly how we can escape that burning hell. What do? They just continue on anyway. They're heading that way. It's not God's fault that they're going to hell. They make their own choices. See Romans 2:4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? God has shown his mercy. He tells us what he has done for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. And we, recognizing that, he's given us a way out. He's given us a way to salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the very definition of kindness, wouldn't you think? And his mercy. Devil does not want you to know that the gospel is a gospel of repentance. Changing your ways. Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The righteous don't need to repent because they've been doing it already. But the sinners, they need to repent. They need to change their ways. Devil does not want you to know that God's will is for all people to repent. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is what God wants. He wants everybody to come to repentance. And if people choose not to come to repentance, God can't do anything for them. He won't do anything for them because he's already basically stated what's going to happen. You're faithful to the Lord, you get to go to heaven. You're unfaithful to the Lord, you go to hell. God is not going to deceive his own self. He's not going to deny himself. He is going to be faithful to himself and what he has said, because God does not change. As much as we would like that, okay, God's going to be so forgiving, he's going to let everybody in. I mean, that would be great. That would be wonderful. And that's what we all hope for. We hope that people don't have to suffer such a long time. We hope the doctrine of the purgatory might be true, that bad people, they can pay for their sins a little while, then they paid their debt to God, and then they can go on into heaven. We would love for that to be the case. But you know what? When we read God's word, that's not the case. God is very specific, and God does not change. So we are the ones who have to come to repentance. God's not going to do that. Devil does not want you to know that repentance produces divine joy when we do change our ways. Luke 15:7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The faithful of God, the ones who stay faithful. I mean, yes, there is a certain sense of joy when they become Christians, but what if one falls away and then we restore them, bring them back? I mean, there's more joy in heaven. The angels rejoice when that happens. That's why we're always encouraging people, get yourself right with God, because that makes the angels happy. Devil doesn't want you to know that repentance is in the plan of salvation. Oh no, they usually leave that out, right? They talk about faith only, maybe confessing, but repentance? You don't have to change your ways, just keep going the way you are. All you do is just change in your heart condition, and that's what they tell you. Luke 24 and 47, and that repentance and for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Repentance. All right, he does not want you to know that repentance leads to spiritual life. Here's what it says in Acts 11, verse 18. And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. And so, this is what they were saying about the Gentiles when it was made known to them that they had accepted the gospel. And it was a time to glorify God. And that's what they did. The devil does not want you to know that repentance is a step in leaving him. That's right. We need to do that. We need to have that. You know, we sometimes depict the plan of salvation with steps. And we have the first five steps as God's part, what he has done for us. And then the rest is up to us to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I mean, that's the next step. And then, of course, live faithful after that. 2 Timothy 2:25, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what? That's what this does. When people change their ways and start serving God, they want to learn more about God. And they make the effort to know more about God. They study more, they read more, and they spend more time with faithful Christians. So the devil does not want you to leave the stubbornness of your heart. Romans 2:5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Yes, there is a day coming. We call it Judgment Day. It's going to be a day when everyone will stand before God and give an account. If you have been stubborn in your heart and not obeyed God, what's going to happen? He's going to say, depart from me, you who practice iniquity, you who practice unrighteousness, you who are lawless. He's going to depart from me. I don't want to see you. Devil doesn't want you to know that that's part of God's plan. Satan doesn't want you to know that baptism is for the remission of sins. And that's right. I mean, the devil will tell you faith alone saves, and so will most of his angels. Most of his servants of Satan are standing in pulpits all across this land saying, faith alone saves. You don't need to go through this baptism. Once again, you ask, well, why did God put it in there? And they come up with some other reason. An outward expression of an inward faith or something like that. James 2:24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I mean, the only place you can find faith alone in the scriptures is this passage right there. And it's preceded by the word not, by faith alone. The devil will say that baptism denies the blood of Christ. And that's right, it does. He says the blood of Christ doesn't save. That should be doesn't. Oh, don't take what's up there on the screen. The blood of Christ does not save. That's what the devil wants you to believe. So we don't need his blood. We don't need the shedding of his blood. We don't need to access his blood through baptism. I mean, that's not necessary. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and releases us from our sins by his blood. That's what this is talking about, Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus, we are released from our sins. Satan doesn't want you to remove your sins. He wants you to keep your sins, so that you don't go to heaven. But Jesus will cleanse us of that. Satan doesn't want you to know that Jesus' blood is found in baptism. He says that, well, it's a spiritual thought that counts, the fact he shed his blood. He doesn't want us to think that it's found in baptism. Acts 22:16, and now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So how are we going to wash away our sins with just plain old water? Well, there's a reason. See, the devil will allow people to teach the new birth. And he's going to let, oh yeah, you got to be born again. How many times do you run across somebody and say, well, I'm a born again Christian? And that's really just non sequitur, because if you're a Christian, you are born again. I mean, it's obvious, but then to designate yourself a born-again Christian, guess what? How did you become a born-again Christian? Well, I just believed. I said the sinner's prayer or something like that. I didn't follow the gospel plan of salvation. See, John 3:3, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But Satan doesn't want you to know that the new birth is of water and the Spirit. He said, being born again, well, that's just symbolic. But John 3:5, Jesus answered, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What does water have to do with it? That's what they're going to say. As long as you have the Spirit, you don't need the water, right? Why did Jesus combine them in the same passage with the same equal meaning? No, that's what he did. See, the devil doesn't want you to know the Great Commission. What Jesus said, what Jesus taught, when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Devil doesn't want you to know the promise of salvation by repentance and baptism. He doesn't want you to know those things. Repent and be baptized. Like I said earlier, when the people who asked Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter should have said, if you listen to the world, just say the sinner's prayer and that's all you need to do. No, Peter said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Because, as was mentioned in our prayers this morning, we are separated from God because of our sin. As long as we have sin, we're still separated from God. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. Doesn't matter what kind of good deeds you might do. If you haven't had your sins washed away, you're still lost. And the only way to wash away those sins is in baptism. That's for the initial believer. Now, after baptism, we have another method. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Back in verse 7, he talks about the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. The blood of Jesus was what cleanses us from our sins. See, the devil loved people to quote Acts 16:31. It's the Philippian jailer. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved, you and your household." And that's in the scripture. People love to go quote that scripture. They love using that scripture. But you know what? He doesn't want you to see what verse 33 says. "And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household." The jailer was taught the gospel. And he was baptized straightway, immediately, right away, because he saw the importance of it. Devil doesn't want you to know that part. If the devil can get you stopped there at verse 31, "Just believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved," that's all you need to do. The devil's perfectly fine with that. The devil does not want you to know that baptism saves. 1 Peter 3:21, how much plainer can it get? And corresponding to that, 8 souls saved through the ark, which we saw in verse 20, baptism now saves you. And it's not the removal of dirt from the flesh, like taking a bath, but it's an appeal to God for a good conscience. How? Because we're calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16 said that. Calling on the name of the Lord. What does that calling on the name of the Lord mean? Appealing to God, saying, "I am going to do what you say to do, and then you can do what you say you're going to do." It should be very simple to understand. And I hope you're taking notes, because you can take this and you can teach anyone the gospel simply by asking questions, by showing them what the Bible says. You've got the verses down for that. Devil does not want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ. But if you do decide to believe Jesus is the Christ, he's okay with that. He is okay with that. He doesn't want you to repent of your sins. But if you choose to repent, okay, no big deal, as long as you return to your sins. He's fine with that. He doesn't want you to confess Christ before men. I mean, he wants you to be something different. But yet, we realize there in Titus 1 and verse 16, what did he say? They profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. How many people do you see walking around claiming to be Christians and yet living an ungodly, worldly life? Yeah, there's a lot of them. Millions of them in this country alone. Around the world, billions of them. Oh yeah, I know God. I love Christ. I love Jesus. Then they follow that up with all sorts of profanity and irreverence for God. You know, even if you decide you want to be baptized into Christ, devil's okay with that. As long as you don't change your ways. I mean, when we're baptized into Christ, we're told we become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. We are, if anyone baptized into Christ, they are a new creature. So, anyone in Christ. If we get out of Christ by our choices, the devil's fine with that. Because if we're not in Christ, we don't get to go to heaven. And the devil is fine with that. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. So he doesn't want you to know the truth of all this. The devil does not want you to be saved from your sins. He doesn't want you to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So what does he do? Well, he's the deceiver. He's been lying from the beginning, as we read, and this is the way he is. He's always been that way. And sadly, so many people, they have in their mind thinking that they're going to heaven. And they're going to be lost because they're not obeying God's plan of salvation. They've come up with the devil's plan of salvation. And we don't want that to happen. We want everybody to be faithful. We want everybody to be able to stand up before God and he proclaimed to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Nobody's going to deceive God. God is not mocked. Galatians 6 and verse 6. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. And so, if we sow to righteousness, eternal life. If we sow to wickedness, corruption, destruction. I mean, a lesson like this, I don't need to go over the plan of salvation with you because we already have. We've discussed it. This is what God wants from you. And we should feel compassion and pity for all those souls out there who are doing it wrong because they are lost. And we should have the willingness and the courage to warn them. What's going to happen? They may reject you. They may refuse to talk to you anymore. They may say, "I don't want to hear it." But if we don't give them warning, what does that say about us? You see a child about to run out in the street, you're going to scream, "Hey, somebody stop that kid." "Ah, this kid will figure it out." Doesn't work that way. We need to save others, snatching them out of the fire. James 2:25, I believe, says that. No, actually, Jude, verse 25. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. All right, if you're faithful, keep that way. If you're not faithful, you better change your ways and get right with God before you die. Because after you die, there's no hope after that. I mean, that's the truth. You can accept it or you can reject it. It's all up to you. Consider those thoughts while together we stand and sing.